Ever wonder about questions that don't seem to have solid answers? Like, if God is so good, then why is there so much suffering in the world? Or why should we trust the Bible, and who wrote it anyway? Maybe you found the answers, but they didn't fully satisfy you. Well, welcome to Straight from the Bible, where you can find real answers from God's Word. Give us a call if something's on your heart. You can call us right now at 472-1111 or in the CNMI at 323-1113. You can also text or WhatsApp your questions to 671-686-9999. And now, straight from the Bible.
Half a day, good afternoon.
Thank you for tuning in to Straight from the Bible. Pastor Tenorio, how are you this afternoon?
Hello, Scott. Doing great. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you and Merry Christmas to our listeners.
That's right. Or should I say Merry Christmas?
That's
right. You know, some people like to say Happy Holidays. Mm-hmm. But there are some Christians that don't like the sound of Merry Christmas. Ah, see, I piqued your interest right there. That's what we're going to be talking about today. Should Christians celebrate Christmas?
Awesome title. Awesome title. Well, please let us know. Should Christians celebrate Christmas? You can leave your comment in our comment section on our Facebook page that we're streaming live on. You can give us a call on Guam 671-472-1111. For your questions, and also from the CNMI, 670-323-1113. Text on WhatsApp, 671-686-9999.
Wonderful. Wonderful. So, Scott, do you think, let's start with the word of prayer.
Yes.
People right now, there's crazy traffic. You're probably driving either towards the shopping mall or Ross or trying to make some final purchases. Probably if you're a man, right? You left things for last minute. No, I'm kidding. No, there's some men that are very responsible. But real quick, let's have a word of prayer for everybody that that is right now outside or driving or from home as well. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for Straight into the Bible. May your Holy Spirit be present and may he guide us to the truth and as to how we should approach things from your perspective of the Bible. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Wonderful, wonderful. So, so Scott, since let's do a little exercise right here. Mm-hmm. Can you please close your eyes? And to the listeners, if you are driving, do not close your eyes. If you're at home, close your eyes. And I'm going to say one word, and I want you to tell me the first thing that is coming to your mind. Okay? And the word is Christmas.
Family.
Here we go. Now you can open your eyes. Some people say family. Some people say food. Some people say Christmas tree. Some people say Jesus. Some people say Santa Claus. Some people say vacation. So there's many things that Christmas may mean to different people, or Christmas lights or whatever. But, you know, Luke chapter 2, verse 10 and 11 says, "Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.'" So Jesus came to this world and he was born. But obviously there are a lot of struggles within the church, not just from the Adventists, but, you know, Christians. Many times some celebrate, some others don't. And so I would like to talk about this with all of you. Obviously, we know that Jesus, well, not obviously, but we know that Jesus wasn't born December 25th. Right, Scott? You knew that information right there?
Yes, I did.
Okay, okay. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, this is, maybe I shouldn't assume that everybody has this information. But, yes, and we're going to be looking at a little bit of the history and checking some of these things out. But traditionally, obviously, we celebrate on December 25th. But the exact date is not known biblically. And there are some good guesses, you know, like some of the biblical clues that people have is shepherds in the field, Luke chapter 2, verse 8, right? That they were watching their flocks. And so they thinking that it was in a warmer season, and shepherds typically did not keep their flocks outdoors in the cold winter months. So census and travel, that's in Luke 2, verse 1 to 7. You know, they were traveling to Bethlehem for a Roman census, which might have been more likely during spring or autumn when travel was easier. Jesus' birth, it is estimated to have occurred between, you know, the reign of King Herod and as Herod's death. So 4 BCE. But some people like to say that that's why it was more likely in June. But once again, we do not know the exact date of Jesus' birth. Now, I would say, then can we celebrate Jesus' birth if he wasn't born on December 25th? It's a good question to ponder upon. Now, I do want to say before we dive deeper into this, that Satan wants us to take Jesus out of our minds. Whatever he can do to just remove Jesus from our minds is what he's going to try and do. So, when it comes to Christmas, there are three extremes, I like to call it. There's probably more extremes, but I would like to mention three particular extremes that we can see during this season. One of them is materialistic. Oh, Scott, do you want to guess what it is that the average American spends during Christmas? What amount of money?
What amount of money?
Yes.
For a family or for a single person?
Not for a family. No. Just an American.
An American.
Just one person.
$5,000.
$5,000. Whoa.
$5,000.
On average?
One person.
Oof. But I'm talking about just gifts.
Just gifts? Maybe $1,000 then.
Wow, you're good.
Yeah?
You're good, Scott. The average, it says, American spends on Christmas is $997.73.
That's
so
a lot.
$2 and 17 cents. You were short. Man, you're good, Scott. $1,000. I don't know about you, but to me, that sounds like quite a bit of money.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Quite a bit of money. So, materialistic part, and actually many Americans also go into debt in order to be able to buy Christmas presents or whatever it is, you know. And it's said that on average, who do you think spends more, men or women?
Men. I'm just
men. You say men. You were right.
Oh yeah.
Men spend on average 10% more than women. I bet that was a surprise. But the highest spending Americans over the winter holidays are age 45 to 54. So if you're in that range, you're probably spending quite a bit of money. Could be that around that age, it's also when you're having teenagers and maybe the gifts have to be a little more.
Mm-hmm.
I think I just purchased a present for my daughter and I think I only spent $15. So if my daughter was a teenager, probably $15 will not go very far.
Mm-mm.
But the whole point right here is materialistic, right? People are spending more and they get into debt as well. And there's tons of advertisement during this season, right? And then, you know, I wish you guys could see this, but I saw this flyer on the newspaper. It says, this season, this the season for giving. And then it says, more cash, borrow up to $20,000. Lower repayment, get up to 48 months to repay. Fast loan approval, as little as 2 hours. There's sharks out there.
Oh,
there's
yes.
sharks that are waiting to take advantage of this very season, right? Where everybody's expected to be given. And so I think this is important within the materialistic part to be careful as to how it is that you spend the money and that you're not getting into debt. So that was extreme number one, was materialistic. But also, Scott, can you look at Proverbs chapter 22, verse 7? Proverbs 22, verse 7. And let me know so that you can read it once you have it.
Proverbs 22, verse 7. The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the lender.
Yes. So please, please, to the listeners, do not get into debt in order to give something to someone that you love. If they truly love you back, then they're not going to want you to be in debt.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's this cartoon that says, instead of being politically correct, because Rye had the Christmas tree, but instead of calling it the Christmas tree, they call it the holiday tree. And then the husband is like saying to the wife, why don't we call it what it has become, the shopping season tree?
Oh.
So something to ponder upon, okay? Now let's go into extreme number two, and that is distractions from Jesus. You know, because when you ask little children, close your eyes, think about Christmas, you know, what's the first thing that comes? Very few of them say, baby Jesus. And that should tell you something, you know. What do you think is the number one thing that comes into their mind?
Presents.
Presents, yes. What else?
Toys.
What else? Oh.
Santa Claus.
Yes. Who brings the presents? It's extremely important. You know, that's why, well, I decided with my wife, I told her I don't want them thinking that Santa Claus is bringing them gifts. That's not the case. It's not the truth. And some people may say, man, you're a party pooper. Some people actually like to say, well, you know, I leave the cookies and the milk and like it took a bite. And so then it's so fun. And I get it. It's probably fun. But in this case, I don't think it's healthy for them to think. And I'm going to explain my view a little more later on as to why and what it is that I'm trying to teach to my daughters during this Christmas season. But a lot of people think about Santa Claus. Some other people think about the elves of Rudolph.
Mm-hmm. The red nose.
That's correct. Yes. And distractions from within, right, from extreme number two can also be even family, because then we can make the whole season, it's about family or food or decoration, you know. And many times I've felt like if we're celebrating Jesus' birthday,
mm-hmm.
it's too many times and in too many homes, it's kind of like Jesus, it's outside the home. And I always like to picture, a snowy day. It's dark outside, a whole lot of snow, but it's very warm inside the house. Everybody's having a great time, laughing, opening presents, eating food. And Santa Claus is in there too. But Jesus is looking from the outside of the window into inside the house.
Mm.
How everybody's celebrating his birthday, but he hasn't been invited. You know, maybe for us here in Guam is a hot Christmas. Everybody's celebrating outdoors. And maybe Jesus is looking from behind a coconut tree,
mm-hmm.
waiting to be invited to his birthday. But he never gets that opportunity. You know, I think I think this is why also with my daughters, you know, and even before my daughters came along, I saw some of these extremes and I was like, man, how can we celebrate Jesus on this season? And so I remember thinking with my wife, I was like, hey, how can we give a gift to Jesus in his birthday? I mean, he has everything.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? What do you think, Scott? What can you give Jesus in this season? See, I'm making you think. You got to chew on this one.
Yes,
to the
I
listeners
do.
Too. Come on. Think about it. What could you give Jesus when he owns everything?
We can give Jesus ourselves, our family to him this holiday season.
Okay. Anything else? That's a great thing. Give yourself, give your heart, right? I'm reading this book to my daughter. It's about this little shepherd that has nothing to give to baby Jesus. Everybody brought gold, myrrh, incense, right? And so he's crying, what can I give to baby Jesus? And the dad tells him, you can give him your heart, right? And so it's deep.
Oh,
it's
nice.
Deep.
It is.
But the Bible says something on how you can give to Jesus. And I don't know if you can go to Matthew chapter 25, verse 40. Matthew 25, verse 40.
And it says, the king will reply, truly I tell you, whoever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.
Are you having a glimpse, Scott? Right
I am.
There?
I am.
How can you give to Jesus? and this is important because to the least of these. And
right.
Who are the least of these? Come on, Scott. Break it down.
We got the homeless. We got prisoners. We have the widows, orphans,
yes.
Homeless, prisoners.
Yeah, you got a good list right there, which is important, right? The hungry, the thirsty, the stranger, the naked,
right?
The sick, the imprisoned, the vulnerable in general. This is very important. And so I was like, oh, so if I do it to the least of these, I'm doing it to Jesus. So that's when my wife, when it came to the season, we started to pray and we started to, Lord, please guide us. Who do you want us to give in this season?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the least of this. And this is very sensitive because sometimes, you know, you're like, man, you don't want to offend someone. Hey, here's some gifts. And they're like, so... through the different December months, you know, we've been impressed with different people. And some of them have been a great joy and a great blessing. I remember this this one was with Micaela and Mila already. I was invited to preach in Dominican Republic. And this was during New Year. And so I knew about this probably 2 months in advance. And so while we were praying with Anna, we said, why don't we do that? The whole December thing, we do it in Dominican Republic. And we asked the pastor to show us a family that, you know, should be blessed. And so we asked the pastor and he's like, I know the right family. You know, they live in the ghetto in Dominican Republic. And I'm sure they'll be blessed, whatever it is that you have for them. So we went, we asked what were the ages of the two kids, and I think, and we also asked the mom, what do you think your kids are going to want? And, you know, she said a bicycle and, you know, daughter, I forget what it was, but we went and bought those things and also for the parents and we just went and visited them.
Wow.
Took a taxi and, man, when I tell you, when you think of the U.S. and the ghetto, but when you think of Dominican Republic and the ghetto, it changes things, you know. It was through a little alley, different little rooms here and there. And I saw, like, a male prostitute on one of the sides. And this was in the middle of the day, You know, I got a little scared, you know, grabbed my daughter a little closer to me as we're pulling the bike and the different groceries and different things that we're going to give to this family. We went up the stairs, and I thought it was an apartment, but it was a one-bedroom apartment, and four people were living right there.
Oh.
And it's mom, dad, and two little kids, right? Well, one was a teenager. And it was quite impressive to see how they had a system to survive within that one room, to do cooking, to do, you know, sleeping as well, moving the bed, putting it out again, and different things. But it was just such a joy to see them light up when that little girl saw, this bike is for me?
Wow.
You got me a bike? And it was my daughter, the one giving it to her. And so, you know, moments like that. Sometimes, you know, certain families are not as bright or thankful, you know, in their need. But, hey, I just pray about it. And I say, Lord, please impress in my heart. I'm going to buy something and then we're going to take it, you know. And we have our chosen family as well this season as well. And I'm actually excited to take those presents and see those boys and see how this family reacts. But remember, once again, extreme number two, as I was mentioning, distractions from Jesus. Make it about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
How can you make it about Jesus? Give a present to Jesus. And with that said, to the least of this. So extreme number three, Scott. And I've seen some Christians, some well-intended Christians, fall into this part right here where they say, if you celebrate Christmas, you are sinning.
Oh, I heard this one.
Oh, you have heard this
one? I've heard it, but I never paid attention to it.
Oh, you just said, forget it. I don't... I like this season. You won't take it for me.
Yes. I heard about this, but I never paid attention, so I'm all ears.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm having your attention right now. But
yes.
Some people say you shouldn't be celebrating Christmas because Christmas is pagan.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard on that part?
Or yes.
No? Yes.
I heard on that part.
And what do you think, Scott? Do you think Christmas is pagan?
I believe so.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. But you're still choosing to celebrate.
And I'm still choosing to celebrate Christmas.
I'm not gonna push you farther. But how about we come back to this loaded question right after the break?
Yeah. We're going into a short break. Text and WhatsApp in your question. 671-686-9999. We're streaming live on Facebook, so go ahead and leave your comments in the comment section below. We'll be right back.
One man at It Is Written's free medical clinic in the Dominican Republic was given no hope by modern medicine. He had advanced cancer, but no doctor, no money, and no body. He lived alone and said that when he died, no one would even know he was gone. That's when the church stepped in, providing him with a family, with care, with support. Most importantly, with a picture of a loving God. Ultimately, it isn't going to matter how much you had in this world. If you don't have what matters most, your life is only going to be measured by the time you spend before you shuffle off this mortal coil, as Shakespeare wrote. Our Dominican friend with cancer still had cancer, but he had hope. He had assurance. And you want to have that today. Romans 8:24 says, we are saved by hope. Have hope today. If you have Jesus, you have everything. I'm John Bradshaw for It Is Written.
Welcome back to the second half of Straight from the Bible. Call right now with your Bible question. In Guam, it's 472-1111. In the Sinai, it's 323-1113. You can email your questions anytime to Bible at joyfmradio.net. Submit them online at joyfmradio.net or message us on Facebook at facebook.com/joyfmradio. Join us now for the second half of Straight from the Bible.
And we're back with the question, straight from the Bible. Should Christians celebrate Christmas?
Mm-hmm. Nice, nice, nice. So, all right, let's dive in. You know, what do you guys think? Is Christmas pagan and or in its origins? Well, you know, first of all, let's dive into the Bible. The Bible does not tell you that you should celebrate Christmas, but it also does not tell you that you should not celebrate it. And so with this in mind, actually, you also have to think about birthdays. The Bible doesn't tell you that you should celebrate birthdays. There's tons of things. Or like one of my students, when I was a chaplain, once told me, Pastor, the Bible does not tell you that I cannot smoke marijuana. And so, yes, the Bible is silent in some of these things, but it gives you principles or ideas that you can follow so you can make wise decisions. And so, is Christmas of pagan origins? Actually, yes, that is correct. According to some history, well, it's a mix, you know. It's a mix of different things, you know. Why? On December 25th, it was established as the day to celebrate Jesus' birth by the Roman Church in the 4th century. And this day coincides with earlier pagan festivals like Saturnalia and Sol Invictus, which may have been Christianized. You know, so once again, we spoke a little bit about the exact date or time. We're not able to know. We may know that it was on the warmer days, not on the colder days. But is this enough for us? You know, there is some mix of traditions, right, as to how some people do it or celebrate it and what things were added into it. But I think it's important to know that even though there are some things of pagan origin, today I don't celebrate anything pagan. I'm not celebrating, you know, Saturnalia. I'm not drinking alcohol while celebrating Jesus' birth. I'm not doing, you know, crazy stuff in parties or whatever. I celebrate Jesus. And every day of December, actually, is so fun. We do this Christmas calendar, and we do something different with my daughters on that day. Choose to help somebody today. You know, make a letter for the least of these, right? And then give it to them. And it is, you know, great to see how this whole month we're using it to teach our daughters how amazing Jesus is. And Scott, I don't know if you knew, but according to some sources, the origin of Aloha shirts can be traced to the 1920s or the 1930s. When the Honolulu-based dry goods Musashiya, the shirt maker under the property chief Okoichiru Miyamoto. But if you didn't know where it was taken from, the patterns on the Hawaiian shirt, take a guess.
From the islands?
From the Pacific Islands, yes. And it was the witchcraft, the witches.
Oh, yeah.
That they were choosing certain patterns. And because the colonizers came, they chose to still have some of those patterns, but imprinted on a shirt so that it will never be forgotten. And so today, when you wear a Hawaiian shirt, you're wearing witchcraft. Patterns. Mm-hmm. Isn't that interesting?
That's interesting.
And you see how you believe me right there? Because that's not true.
Oi!
I got you.
Yes, he did.
I got you. See, too many people watch on YouTube nonsense. I tell you, fact checking a whole lot of things. They just eat it up like a cereal and milk.
That's right. That's what I did.
As a pastor, I get frustrated. Anybody can grab a camera, record something, upload it to YouTube, and people are like, I cannot believe it. Wow. So you have to be careful. You have to fact check a lot of these things, you know. But once again, I'm not saying that Christmas doesn't have certain things of paganism, but I am saying you have to check the stuff that you see online. Do not just take it. Or even piñatas. Well, this one, it is true. Okay, you can fact check this one later on if you want to. But piñatas, how it was started, you know, it was from represented the seven sins, and usually they had seven things sticking out from the piñata. But do we stay away from piñatas because, you know, it represented the seven sins and you had to beat it up? No, we don't. You know, it. What does it represent today? And, you know, and you may say, well, Pastor, nah, you just said that there is some paganism in its origins. Therefore, I'm going to stay away from it because I'm going to stay away from all pagan things.
Mm-hmm.
You could be very black and white, right?
Right.
And say, that's it. Well, if that's the case, then give me all your cash.
Right.
Why do I say give me all your cash? Because when you look at the money, when you look at your cash,
mm-hmm.
what do you see? There's a whole lot of pagan symbols in
mm-hmm.
there.
Symbols.
I mean, take out your $1 bill, and what do you see in the back? It's
isn't it like a triangle or something, a pyramid. Looks
yes,
like a pyramid,
it's a
right,
pyramid
with the eye in the middle.
It's called the all-seeing eye.
Oh.
And you know, thanks to inflation, I don't have $1 bills anymore. Only 20s are my $1 bills nowadays. But
that's right, inflation.
I don't have one here, but man, you can see it. Even you can see even an owl. In one little corner, tiny, right next to the number one, owl, you know, that which also represents masonry. In the pyramid, not only do you see the all-seeing eyes, but you see 13 different steps, which is also very Masonic. Also, the eagle is holding 13 arrows and a whole lot of other things when you see it there in the $1 bill that is like, man, it's pagan. Or, you know, some other ones of in the money is the obelisk as well, which is also Egyptian and very symbolic into its paganism. And all these things that you have to just, if you were to say, I'm going to stay away from paganism, then you also have to get rid of all your dollars and you cannot use them. You even have to leave the U.S. I don't know if you ever realized, but you know, the U.S., just the government and all the different things, you know, like the obelisk also as well in Washington, D.C. And you may say, yeah, I'm going to leave all paganism and I'm also going to move. I'm going to move to the Philippines. Wrong. You can't move to the Philippines. When you look at the flag of the Philippines, you see a star, which is used in paganism by Satanists. It represents a goat, right? Or also in the Filipino flag, the sun, which can be the sun god. And you may say, well, I'm going to go to Korea. No, you can't even go to Korea. In their flag, they have the yin yang that represents the mix of good and evil. And you may say, I'm going to leave to Chuuk. No, Chuuk also has the pentagon star, which represents the goat. You know, there's paganism everywhere you turn, you know, as you try to run away from all paganism, you're not going to be very successful. Does that mean the Chuuk is pagan in itself? Does that mean Korea is pagan in itself? It may have some origins or some symbolism, but let me tell you, I really think it's what you do instead of what it is. And I love this quote from Ellen White. She gives so much balance. I'm gonna read it right here. And says, there is no divine sanctity resting upon the 25th of December. No divine sanctity. It's not holy. It's not like the Sabbath. It's not like Saturday. And it is not pleasing to God, she says, that anything that concerns the salvation of men through the infinite sacrifice made for them should be so sadly perverted from its professed design. Christ should be the supreme object, it says. But as Christmas has been observed, the glory is turned from him to mortal men, whose sinful, defective character made it necessary for him to come to our world. Then it says, parents should keep these things before their children and instruct them, just like I'm doing. I told you guys, line up on line, pressing up and press it in their obligation to God, know their obligation to each other, to honor and glorify one another by gifts and offerings. But they should be taught that Jesus is the world's redeemer, the object of thought, of painstaking effort. In this season, guys, listen, all right? That his work is the grand theme which should engage their attention, that they should bring to him their gifts and offerings. Thus did the wise men and the shepherds. See how it says? Bring Amen. Your gifts to him, mm-hmm. to Jesus.
That's right.
Just like the wise men. Yes. So, you know, can you look up Matthew chapter 25, verse 40?
Matthew 25, verse 40. Let me pull it up. Matthew 25, verse number 40. And we have a couple questions, by the way, right after. Just let me know when you want me to read them
okay.
to you.
Okay, perfect.
Matthew 25, verse 40 says, the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatsoever you did for me, for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me.
Once again, you know, doing it for the least of these.
Mm-hmm.
And Ellen White, on one of her letters, you know, she wrote it, it says, our children have been educated to expect gifts from parents and friends upon Christmas. Christmas is celebrated to commemorate Christ's birth. If we celebrate it only in seeking to give pleasure to our children and one another, our offerings are diverted from the true object. We should bring our thank offerings to the Lord, laying our gifts at the feet of him who has opened the treasures of heaven for us. So wonderful.
It is.
You know, she's, once again, she's so balanced.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, celebrate it. Take advantage of the season. But do not forget, do not go into That's the right. extreme. Right, of getting distracted.
Yes.
So go ahead, Scott. Tell me the question.
Okay, our first, there's two questions, both about the Christmas tree. The first one reads, what is Christmas tree all about? Is it a custom, an idol, or a ritual, or paganism?
That's, once again, a great question, which a lot of people, I don't know if you've heard the heads of the little, you know, well, the balls that are in the Christmas tree,
right.
those represents people that were beheaded. Have you ever heard that one?
I heard of that one like okay. 3-4 years ago.
So, it, you know, as some of the origins and meaning, it says ancient cultures use evergreen plants like fir, pine, or holly to symbolize life and resilience during the dead of winter, you know. Pines are pretty strong even during winter, right?
Mm-hmm.
Evergreens were delivered to ward off evil spirits or bring good fortune during the harsh, dark months. in Northern Europe, Norse people celebrated Yule, marking the winter solstice. Evergreen boughs were brought indoors as part of the festivities. And there were some Christians that adopted the use of evergreens as a symbol of eternal life, linking them to the promise of salvation through Jesus Christ. You know, some people say that the triangular shape of the tree is often associated with the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. What are some of modern Christmas tree tradition? The Christmas tree tradition, as we know it, is widely attributed to the 17th century Germany. Martin Luther, a key figure in Protestant Reformation, said to have introduced decorating trees with candles to mimic the beauty of stars shining through evergreen branches. And so it was spread, you know, in 18th and 19th century. You know, the Christmas tree became a staple in German-speaking regions, and then it spread through parts of Europe. Obviously, when people migrated towards the U.S., you know, that also migrated.
Mm.
You know, what symbol do you give it? For me, the Christmas tree, it represents, you know, just a tradition of, you know, Christmas, a tradition that's where you put little Christmas trees, you know, presents. And afterwards, you just give each other those gifts.
Mm-hmm.
I like what Ellen White, you know, says, you know, have a Christmas tree, you know, in each church, and then bring your present right there to Jesus.
To Jesus.
Yeah. I told my church, I said, here are some envelopes. Give a gift to Jesus. You know, you can do it to the least of these. You can also do it towards the church. And I mentioned three different areas in our church where we're needing financial help.
Mm-hmm.
And so then they get to choose whatever they want to put that money and however it is that they want to. But they bring it in the envelope and they put it on the Christmas tree.
Mm.
And so to me, the Christmas tree does not represent people being beheaded.
Mm-hmm.
It does not represent me calling evil spirits or whatever. It's just a beautiful natural nature tree that you just bring inside your house, you decorate it, and then you just put presents right under.
That's right.
It's just a tree. Mm-hmm. Nothing else, nothing more.
That's right.
Can you make it your own giving? Your own meaning? Yes, you could. some people, a reminder of God's eternal love and hope brought by Jesus even during winter. A centerpiece of family traditions, gatherings, and holiday decor.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it's more that. Just holiday decoration.
That's right.
So it can be an emblem of the festive season, regardless of religious background. Once again, you know, if you want to stay away from the Christmas tree, then stay away from money too.
Mm.
The dollars, right?
Yes, right.
Give it to me. But you're not going to do that. Why? Because it's not about the symbolism in the dollar. Nope. It's what you do with the dollar that makes a difference. And so, once again, what are you using your Christmas tree for? Is it just to go into one of the extremes and give each other just material things? Or is it to give to Jesus?
That's right.
So some things to ponder upon.
Yes.
And you also said you had another question.
I had another question. The question is from one of our listeners. And he wants to know about Jeremiah verse 10, 3 through 4. He wants to know if this is the Christmas tree of today. For the practices of people are worthless. They cut a tree out of the forest, and a craftsman shapes it with his chisel. They adorn it with silver and gold. They fasten it with a hammer and nails, so it will not totter. That's Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 3 through 4.
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a loaded question. You're throwing me right there, Scott.
Yeah, sorry. The listener, he wanted to know more about Christmas.
It's good.
Yes, actually from our WhatsApp line, so.
Got it. So whoever you are, great question. You know, it's a good question to ponder upon as well. So Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 3 and 4, you know, this one often comes in discussions about Christmas tree. You know, because it describes the decoration of a tree, but the context shows it is not referring to modern Christmas trees. So the passage, once again, for the practices of the people are worthless. They cut a tree out of the forest and a craftsman shapes it with his chisel.
Mm-hmm.
They adorn it with silver and gold. They fasten it with hammer and nails so it will not totter. Notice this is idolatry, not decoration.
Oh.
I do not bow down to a tree, you know, in my living room and I go, oh, you know, to me it's just decoration, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the same goes right here. Well, here is not talking about something decorative, but it's talking about idolatry. You are worshiping this tree. Jeremiah 10 is criticizing the practices of idolatry, right? especially the carving wooden idols from trees and decorating them with precious metals for worship. Notice how it says that the tree was, you know, right there, it is made into a shape. Mm. Does that make sense?
No, that's right.
And there was tons of idols that were made into shapes from trees, from wood, right? And so these idols were fixed and worshipped. They were fastened to prevent them from falling over and were treated as deities. And the focus right here in the context of this text is the focus is on condemning the worship of man-made objects, not the use of trees for decoration. Mm. What do you think? Do you like that answer, or you think, hey,
I love that answer.
We're still
not
a
like
far
I love
away
it.
From it. Got it.
Yes, nice.
You know, and the Christmas tree, as we use it today, is a cultural symbol rather than an object of worship. And its use is not tied to the idolatrous practice that Jeremiah condensed, but instead, you know, you see that it's just simple decoration. Now, I would like to say this, God. And
yes,
this for all my listeners, if the Holy Spirit has impressed you, and you feel like, hey, this whole thing of Christmas, you know, I don't like it. I think it's impressing me to stay away from it. Then, okay, do what the Holy Spirit impresses you. Make sure it's the Holy Spirit, of course. But I would like to say, too, I mean, just because the Holy Spirit impressed you in it doesn't mean it has impressed everybody. Mm. And you have to be careful with this. Everybody is in different journeys. And just how people let you not celebrate it, then do so forth with the opposite. Mm. You know, let's not throw rocks at each other. Oh, you are in this camp. Oh, I'm in this camp. And we're enemies because you pagan worshipers, you know. Once again, I think it's a time you can try to remember Jesus in June if you want to, or celebrate him in February or March. For me, I take advantage of this season, and I'm going to make Jesus the reason for the season. And I'm going to take advantage to teach my daughters. I don't do this in any other part of the year. And so it's a choice like anything else.
Yes. Right?
If you can read Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, Scott.
Yes, I can. I can read Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6. We read. As soon as I learn how to spell, I can read it. Isaiah 9, verse 6 reads, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace."
Amen.
Amen.
And Micah chapter 5, verse 2 says, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrata, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from all of old, from ancient times." This is beautiful. Or Matthew 1:23, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. That is so beautiful.
Yes.
That God chose to become one of us.
Right.
Just like the serpent. The bronze serpent being raised in a pole and saving everybody. Jesus came to be a human into this world. God with us. And not only that, but he became sin.
Right.
At the cross so that he could save us. I don't know about you, but I want to celebrate not just in December, but throughout my whole life that Jesus came into this world. Now, do I take advantage of December? For sure.
Yes.
For sure. And so, as we ponder upon these things, let's remember that Jesus is soon to come. And soon we'll be able to spend eternity with him.
Yes, we will.
celebrating what he did for us.
Yep, Jesus is the reason for the season. Yes. Thank you, Pastor, for this program, the Christmas program. Really enjoyed it. And just one more thought. I was on the phone earlier with the listener.
Great.
And he said that he's trying to get the whole idea of Christmas, and he called the show interesting.
That's great. That's mm-hmm. great to hear. Hey, there was some interest. Some people that were had some questions. Also, you know, just remember, don't be shy. Send your questions right. on WhatsApp. We'll love to answer them. If not now, on the next round, on the next Monday yes. episode. We appreciate you being mm-hmm. active. And Scott, do you think I can pray with everybody before we close the program?
Yes, you can.
Wonderful. Let's have a word of prayer, everybody. Heavenly Father, thank you for my wonderful Chamorro people, also for the people from the outside that they take in this season that sometimes brings a lot of sadness to some because they lost their loved ones. Mm-hmm. May we feel your presence, may we feel your love, and may be thankful that you came to this messed up, broken world to save us, to rescue us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, listeners, and thank you, Pastor. God bless you. Have a great evening.
Thanks for joining us for another edition of Straight from the Bible. If you missed out on your question and would like to have it aired next time, you can also email us anytime at bible@joyfmradio.net. Submit them at online@joyfmradio.net or message us on Facebook at facebook.com/joyfmradio. Join us again next time for another edition of Straight from the Bible. Until then, may God bless you as you study His holy word, the Bible.